South Bay Church. You have picked an incredible day to be in church. We're so glad that you're here with us. Welcome those of you who are joining us online and all of our campuses. God is doing an amazing work in us here at South Bay as we are in the midst of a series called Party Life. And we've been partying over the last few weeks, looking at how Jesus makes this incredible invitation to us to live and experience a life of tremendous joy. And we're going to continue that journey today, but before we jump in the message, I want to make sure you know about one thing so you can mark your calendars. I know some of you here at South Bay, you're planners and you like to plan ahead. In 3 weeks from today, we're going to be wrapping up the Party Life series on August 20th, and we're going to have a massive campus-wide, church-wide party at all three of our campuses. One big party, three locations, bouncy houses, food, baptisms, party. It's going to be absolutely incredible. One of the best days in our church's history, and you do not want to miss it. So mark your calendars. And then secondly, sometimes when you think to yourself, man, I wish I'd brought a friend that week to church. That's the week that you want to bring your friend to church. So start thinking about who you're going to bring. It's going to be an awesome celebration, August 20th, coming up at the end of the series. Now today, as we're continuing our series, something happened to me that was a little bit weird this week. And this kind of happens to me maybe three or four times a year when it comes to my own journey and preparation around messages. God will give me something and then I'll kind of prep it and then I'll start to feel last minute like there's a different message. And people often ask me this question as a pastor. They say, how long does it take you to prepare a message? Which is a really hard question to answer because I kind of wonder, like, does the shower time count? And then all the times that, you know, illustrations are happening or all the moments where you're processing and praying through, does all that count? And I really never know how to respond to that. The best simple answer is it takes me about 10 to 12 hours focused to make a message happen. And it takes me about 5 hours to get what I think is a very clear word from God. And then the rest of the time is to pound that out and to put it kind of in language that makes sense to everyone. And this week, something weird happened. I got a message in 30 minutes. So I was like reading the Bible. I had another message and this came to me really quick. And part of it is just where I am in my journey spiritually. But it's not a message that just came so quick. It was also a message. This one, if you asked me how long it took me to prepare, I'd say 30 minutes plus some. And then about 35 years, 1 month and 15 days, if you know what I'm saying. Like, this is one of those messages for me that is an ongoing journey of what God continues to do in my heart. And I want to just share with you today what I think is oftentimes the biggest barrier to joy and peace in our lives. And I want to start with a question. Now, you don't have to respond to this question, okay? You can just think your response to the question or maybe tell your neighbor. And the question is, how you doing? How you doing today? If I said it in a New York accent, I'd say, how you doing? How you doing? Good to see you. How you doing? Now, that's a tough question to answer, isn't it? Like, because people ask you how you doing, but you don't really know how to respond to how you doing, right? Because people don't really care how you doing. They don't, right? Like, you say good. There's a socially acceptable range on how you doing, you know? Like, good and great makes the conversation smooth. Fine kind of creates a little bit of a hiccup. My life sucks. That doesn't work very well. Just try it this week. You feel like it's really bad, just tell them, okay? Because, you know, people are so busy themselves, they don't really want to hear how you're doing. And sometimes I think I feel this internal challenge around sometimes my life is difficult, and I really don't want to tell you how I'm doing. So then I make up socially acceptable responses to the question of how you doing. So, you know, I'm like, I'm fine. I'm hanging in there. You guys ever say that one? I heard this week from one of my friends, I'm still alive. So there's a socially acceptable range of my life is bad. So, but I want to give you a challenge, maybe a little application point to this message is to go this week and actually tell somebody, you know, like, well, actually, I've got some major anger issues, and I punched a hole in the wall after I got in a fight with my wife today, and that's how I'm doing. Thank you for asking. Or like, it's the middle of my cycle, and I'm really struggling emotionally. That's how I'm doing, you know? Just try it. See if we can report back next week. that question, though, I think for us here in Silicon Valley, when you ask people how they're doing, the question is often met with busy. I'm just busy. I got so much going on. I got a kid's place and I got responsibilities. I'm just busy, busy, busy. Anybody hear that a lot? It's busy. And it's somewhat like a, like a badge of honor, your busyness. Like, you know, really busy, two badges. It's like really, really busy, four-star general. I mean, it's like it kind of goes up with how busy you are. And I think a part of the reason why we as human beings feel very overloaded and sometimes so restricted in our joy is because actually life is harder than we thought it would be. Adulting is not fun for anyone. I rhyme all the time. I think that sometimes we get into this place where we don't actually know what to do with those burdens that we're carrying, and life is difficult. And here's what I want you to hear today, if you're taking notes, or you should take notes, so please do write this down. The weight of your burden impacts the measure of your joy. I believe that culturally in Silicon Valley, one of the primary reasons why we don't step into the life that God has created us to live is because we carry tremendous burdens that God did not intend for us to carry. And whether your burden today is perceived or real, to you it feels real. And I want to unpack today the reality of how big that burden is or how big that burden feels will determine the amount of joy that you can experience and if you'll step into the party life that God wants you to live. And today I want to wrestle through, what do you do with that burden? What do you do with the burden of your job and the fact that you just lost it and you still have bills? And what do you do with the burden and the reality of how hard it is to parent? And what do you do with the burden of how you go from high school to college and all that weight that you feel there? And what do you do with the burden of going back to school next week and trying to wrestle through the friendships and all the dynamics there? There's a burden that is very real to life, and we're going to wrestle through that today. If you have a Bible, I want to encourage you to turn to Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 29. And I want you just to hear the words of Jesus as he's speaking to two primary groups of people. One group of people is who we can see all throughout Jesus' life, the Pharisees, the religious leaders. And what we have to understand in this context is that the religious leaders primarily were frustrated with Jesus because he was lightening people's loads. And they didn't like that because they had taken all these things that God had said to do and commandments from God, and the Ten Commandments from Moses, and then they tacked on all these religious rules on top of it, and people were really burdened. And so the burdens that the religious leaders were asking people to carry were actually preventing people from getting to God. And Jesus comes along and he starts saying things like, well, actually what God cares about is loving people and loving God, and really everything's about those two things, and if you get that, you got it all. So they're frustrated with him, and they're criticizing him, and they're calling him a drunkard and a glutton because he's spending time with people who don't know the heart of God, and he's partying with them, and they're very frustrated. So Jesus is so oftentimes trying to combat this reality that every time he's teaching, he has religious people in the mix, and he has people who are broken and actually see their need for God in the mix, which happens all the time in churches. And they got both of them going on. So he's going to make a statement that is so profound to the religious leaders, but so practical to everybody else. And I want us to hear his words. And these verses in the Bible, for me, are some of the most difficult to understand, and I want to unpack them in our time together. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens." I want us to notice that Jesus makes an invitation here. It's the same invitation that we've been talking about that Jesus makes to us to experience a life of joy. So he's saying, come to me no matter where you are, all of you who are weary and you have heavy burdens. But I want us to know that Jesus doesn't actually use the word load here. He actually uses the word burden, because there's a big difference between a burden and a load. A load is like brushing your teeth, going to work, putting your pants on. You know, the stuff that human beings have to do. If you're alive, you have a load that you're supposed to carry. And sometimes we get a little bit confused about this. We want other people to take responsibility for our lives. He does not say, come to me, those of you who have loads. We all have loads that we're carrying around in life. See, he distinguishes the difference between being burdened and loaded. And sometimes in our lives, we're loaded, but we've misunderstood what it means to be loaded versus what it means to be burdened. So he says, come to me, those of you who are weary, exhausted, and burdened. So there's the relational aspect of life that Jesus is trying to help people understand. Come to me, those of you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. But he's not just talking about physical rest. Like, this is not an excuse for Mai Tais and all of us to slip away to the Caribbean together as a church and assume no responsibility for our lives. He is talking about a different type of rest. In fact, he uses this phrase. He says, rest for your soul. Take my yoke upon you, which was another word for his teaching. In essence, Jesus is comparing and contrasting the weight of his teaching versus the weight of the religious leaders' teaching. So he says, take my yoke upon you and you learn from me. In fact, you will find that when you do this, I am gentle and humble at heart, and there you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear and the burden I give is light. That's confusing to me. It is. Anybody else? I mean, just out of curiosity, the rest of you, you've got a light burden. You're already asleep in this message. I mean, anybody else at times feel like, man, my burden in my life is anything but easy and light. So why the disparity between my personal experience and what Jesus says? In fact, sometimes it feels like the longer I go, the heavier the burden becomes. So why this disparity? And I think oftentimes we misinterpret what Jesus is saying here. Like, there's all these different analogies that we use about life and how it's supposed to work. And we start to assume that every time something goes wrong, that there's a demon around the corner causing trouble in our lives. Or maybe if something goes wrong in our lives, we're outside of the will of God. So we misinterpret what Jesus is saying here to believe that if you follow Jesus, everything's going to go your way and it's going to be easy. Your way right away at God's house now. I mean, it's like that's the assumption that we make about the way that God operates in our lives. But how many of you know and have experienced that life doesn't always go the way that you want? And it's not always because you're sinning that life doesn't go the way you want. A couple weeks ago, I was like, hero dad. Stacy created a bucket list for the kids for the summer. I'm a part of the execution team on that. So we got a plan to go to the San Jose Giants, which I like because you can get free tickets from gas stations for that. And you don't have to spend 3 hours in traffic to get to the game. So one of my sons really wanted to go see Madison Baumgartner when he was pitching here. And I was pumped about it. We got the free tickets. Hero dad here. So we go to the game. When we get to the game, there's this really long traffic to get into the game, and I'm like, what's going on? So I pull a NASCAR move and kind of go around a bunch of cars and do some illegal things, and I park there on the side of the road. Don't do as I do as I say, you know. So, but I get there on the side of the road, and I'm parked, and we're walking up, and then all of a sudden I see people with the little purple free tickets I have walking from the stadium. I'm like, the stadium's that way, bro. It's that way. Let's go back. Come on. And they're like, no, we can't get in. I'm like, well, I'll get in. So we go and we get closer to the stadium, and it's really exciting because the first pitch is coming off and everybody's cheering. A giant, you know, one of the giants up in the major leagues has come down. He's rehabbing, and it's happening. But when we get real close, there's a security guard. And he's like, you can't go in there. And I'm like, man, I've been really godly today. And I've been following all that God wants me to do. It's supposed to go my way when I follow Jesus. I'm supposed to get in the game. I didn't say that to him. But, sometimes you subtly think things like that. Like, I'm a good dad. I'm hanging out with my kids. God, why don't you work this out for me? So I'm like, well, we got a very spiritual moment here. This is an opportunity for me to invest in the life of my kids and teach them a deep spiritual lesson. God wants us to go to the game. So I'm like, well, let's pray that God would help us get some tickets. So we stop and we pray, God, would you just please help us get some tickets? I'm praying it out loud. I'm thinking it. And so I just start doing one of these numbers. You guys ever seen people doing those numbers outside? I'm outside the San Jose Giants walking around like this. I know it's surprising because it's always like really small. There's only like 30 people, but this time it was bad. So I'm like walking around, but I don't have any money to buy tickets. So I'm like, well, maybe God's going to intervene. Somebody's going to just give me like, oh, look, there's a pastor. They'll give him some tickets. So I'm like walking around. So I go into the skating rink to get some cash because I'm like, if somebody has them. And then I'm trying to figure out, so we go back out and we're like, we can't get tickets. And I'm like, man, God, why are you letting me down in front of my kids like this? Like, here I am praying and you're not going to answer this prayer, God. So I'm like trying to figure out what to do with the boys. So I asked one of them and I'm like, well, what do you think we should do? And he goes, I think we should go back and punch that guy in the face and tell him to let us in. I asked the other one. He's like, we should go watch a rated R movie and get drunk. I'm dead serious when I can say that. And I'm like, man, that just comes straight from within our soul. It's amazing, though, how that resistance to what we think should happen in our lives brings out so much in us. And life doesn't always go the way that you want it to. And the presence of difficulty does not mean the absence of God. The presence of pain does not mean that God has left you. You know, if you flip back one chapter before this, Jesus actually said to his disciples that if you're going to follow me, you have to love me more than you love your parents or your siblings. And whoever doesn't take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. So somehow Jesus says you can lay your burdens down, but you got to pick up a cross and follow me. And there will be pain, and there will be difficulty, and there will be hardship, and there will be moments where you are overloaded and overwhelmed, and it will be beyond your capacity. So if you think that it's always that God just wants to make your life easy, you're going to miss the point. See, you can have immense joy in the midst of great sorrow. You can have great joy in the midst of great difficulty. Jesus was also described as a man of great sorrow. So somehow, to him, this made sense more than it makes sense to us. And I wonder what is the disparity between my life and what Jesus really meant, between the way that we live and the light, easy, burden-free life that Jesus is talking about. And I want to wrestle through that with you today, because I do believe that there are some solutions around how we can move more towards that. And I want us first to understand something that Jesus says at the very beginning of this passage of scripture. Notice the first phrase that Jesus launches into it with, and he says, come to who? Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened. There's a relational aspect to that. In fact, the first point I want to focus in on is when you think about the thing in your life that has you overloaded, the what that has your life burden, the question that we have to wrestle through is who asked you to carry the thing that is burdening you right now? See, Jesus wants them to understand that the directive from God for their lives comes through him. So there's all of these rules that were weighing heavy on people's shoulders, and he says, actually, if you come to me, I will teach you how to live. So there's an instruction, there's a way of life, there is a load that I'm going to ask you to carry, but where I want you to get that load from is me. I want you to get your direction or directive in life from my instruction from you. So if you take what I give you to carry and then you add a bunch of other stuff to it, you're going to be exhausted by it. So what we see is God will oftentimes give us a word of something that he wants us to do. Love this person, feed that kid, work at your job with diligence. He'll give you instruction of how to live, which is your load. And you put that load in your bag and you start to carry it inside of your bag. But what happens for most of us is we start to put a lot of other stuff inside the bag with it. In fact, sometimes we'll throw in the bag our regret from the past. And there'll be something that you went to God with, or maybe even you went to a counselor to pay them to give you some therapy through it, and it's in your past, but now you're still carrying it into the future, and you've got this massive brick of regret around something that God can forgive you or has already forgiven you of, and in his mind, He's already separated it as far as the east and the west from you when you repented and you turned and you gave it to him and you confessed it before him, but now you still have that in the bag. So the thing that Jesus asked you to carry is starting to get more heavy. I wonder for some of us today if we're carrying around some major regrets, and those major regrets are rendering the word or the directive that Jesus gave to us very difficult and burdensome to carry. Now, we don't just have regret. We have a whole lot of other things that we put in there too. We put worry in the bag. Well, we got the stuff from the past, but we got tomorrow that we need to take care of. And what we do is we leverage today's strength to solve tomorrow's problem. God never promised to give you strength for tomorrow. God promised to give you strength for when? For today. So if you're always borrowing tomorrow's strength for today, you're going to be exhausted and not have what you need to carry for today. God spoke to me this week on this in my own life. I was trying to wrestle through all kinds of scenarios and how I would have strength to carry that weight and this weight and what happens if this and if that problem comes and Murphy's Law 1 plus times 2 times 6 and then my life falls apart. And God said to me, Andy, you're trying to get tomorrow's problem solved with today's strength, and your worry is weighing you down. So you got worry, you got regret. Maybe you're healthy and you don't have any issues. You can come preach the rest of the sermon. But for the rest of us, we got expectation too. And in the expectation, we have what other people think we should do and how we should live our lives. And this was the primary culprit of the problem for the people of Israel. Was there were all these expectations that the religious leaders had placed on them. So now they got expectation, they got worry, they got regret. And it's not just the word that Jesus gave to them. It's the word plus a bunch of other stuff. The word plus expectation, the word plus worry, the word plus regret. And we start to feel weighed down. If you take anything other than what God has asked you to carry, what will happen over the course of time is the thing that actually is the load that Jesus has asked you to carry will start to feel like a burden. So let me ask you this question. What is it that God has asked you to carry that God has not asked you to carry that you are currently carrying? Relationships, responsibilities, commitments. Kids don't count in this. Marriage doesn't count in this. This is a covenantal relationship. Somebody like, oh man, left my spouse at church today. That doesn't count. I'm talking about expectations that a boss puts on you. I'm talking about abuse from your past that God wants to give you healing from. I'm talking about the worry of what everybody thinks about you. I'm talking about these weights that Jesus did not intend for you to carry. When you get the what, it really does make a difference. But it's not just the what. See, Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened, and you will find rest for your souls. At the core of what Jesus was trying to do was reorient the way that they thought about God. Everything that they thought about God in this moment was dictated or shaped by religion, by rules, by obligations. So now when they looked at God, they didn't see God relationally anymore. They saw him religiously. And Jesus is, he's coming and saying, this, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened. This is God's heart towards you. And at the core, it's relationship. So if you get the second part off, that's going to be a problem too. The second part is the why. Why do you carry it? And sometimes what happens on top of the word that God gives to us is we add another weight, which is the weight of obligation, that we have to carry it. And the thing that God asks us to do, the right thing for the wrong reason becomes a burden. The right thing for the wrong reason becomes a weight that is unbearable to carry. See, God really does care about your heart too. It's not just what you're carrying, but it's why you're carrying it. It's the essence of what's on the inside that really does matter to God. And for me, one of those things that oftentimes happens in my heart is this brick of bitterness. And sometimes you'll take on something and you're like, man, I'm the only one. I'm the only one who's working hard around this place. I'm the only one doing anything. I'm washing the dishes, making the food, folding the laundry. I'm the only one in my class that worked on the project. I'm the only, anybody ever do that? Just out of curiosity, moment of honesty, look around and say, we all got issues here. And that bitterness, I think it's a real badge of honor that we can park two cars in our garage with four kids. I do. So you can say, that's good. Thank you for the affirmation. And so I just recently like reorged, you know, we had a 6-month strategy. We reorged the garage, changed some infrastructure around, and excommunicated some toys, and we got things working. So I came home the other day, and I pulled up to my garage, and this is what I saw. Just check this out. This is what I saw in my garage. Yes, that is troubling to me, because my garage was clean when I left for work, but now it's got all these toys, and I start sometimes, if I'm honest with you, to carry the things that God wants me to carry with bitterness. I'm like, do you not realize I'm at work where you're on the scooter all day long? Pick up the scooter, man. Put it away. And the relationship that God gave to me as a gift now is coming from a place of bitterness, and I'm carrying it out of the wrong place in my heart. And God spoke to me in my heart in a very unique way. You can take that picture down. I'm getting nervous. But part of what God really spoke into my heart was, Andy, remember how long you prayed for those kids to come into the world? You remember all that you went through and your infertility? What if you changed your got to into a get to? And how many people all over the world would love to have a kid and love to have a spouse and love to have a home and love to have a car and love to have a garage, and your bitterness is fueled because of your lack of gratitude for all that I've done for you? See, something happens when you start to carry the weight from the right heart. What if you switched your got to into a get to? And so we got these issues of bitterness and obligation. And let me throw one more, since this is like very painful. It's like when you're in the therapist and they just keep digging on a knot. I'll just keep going. The last one for many of us is the issue of arrogance. And we start to feel like God really got a good one when he picked us. It's like, God, you got Steph Curry and me. That was good. He's got Bible verses on his shoes, and I'm for you too, so you know, you need me. And what's amazing is sometimes we can start to feel like if I don't do the work of God, God's work doesn't happen. Like if I don't serve in Bay Kids, it doesn't happen. If I don't serve, if I don't preach, and that arrogance, maybe even that arrogance that's not necessarily spiritual, but it's about your life in general. Like, if I don't do this for the kids, it won't happen. If I don't do this at my place of work, it's not going to come to fruition. And that arrogance is just like putting another brick inside. The question that I think we all need to wrestle through is, do I actually believe that God is at work even when I'm not? Do I believe that God could run the universe without me? You know, I think sometimes we get confused. It's like when we die, it's like everything's going to fall apart. But sometimes the reality of God's been running the universe for eternity in the past without me, and God's been will run the universe for eternity into the future without my intervention, and he's fine. I'm going to die one day, and his church will be okay. It doesn't mean he doesn't give me a sense of purpose and direction, and when I let him, he'll use my life to make a difference. But when I start to feel like I'm the only one that can solve the problems, I just keep loading bricks into the bag, and the weight of what God has asked me to do gets heavier and heavier and heavier. And there was just one thing that God had asked me to do that was all the way down there at the bottom, but my life can feel so overwhelming. Does anybody else ever feel like this? Just one thing he asked me to do, but I got this weight and I just don't know what to do with it. When you don't have the what or the why right, is just adding more and more and more burdens to your life. But it's not just the what and it's not just the why. There's also the way that you carry it. Now, we can have some fun here because, you know, I have a few kids myself, and I always find it interesting what happens to backpacks in my house. You guys, parents, know what I'm talking about? It's like every year you buy a backpack and you spend like $60, and 2 weeks into school, that backpack's broken, and then you gotta buy a new backpack. And I just wonder why. Why does that happen? So then I just decide, like, once I'm going to watch the kids carry the bags. You know what I'm saying? So this is how they carry the bag. I'm like, well, no duh, the bottom fell out. You were dragging it around. It's cool in high school, though, right? That's how I carry it. But when you're 50, you're going to be in the chiropractor for 6 weeks for doing that. You know what I'm saying? See, the way that you carry, the weight that God has asked you to carry really does matter. Your posture is significant and important. And the more God puts on you, the less margin you have to carry it incorrectly. Let me say it one more time, because there's a lot in that one statement. The more that God will ask you to carry, the less margin you have to carry it the wrong way. So God will give you sometimes more than you can handle. You ever heard that phrase like, God will never give you more than you can handle? That's stupid. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Because God will give you way more than you can handle at times. And if you believe that every time you get more than you can handle, then you're outside of God's will, then you'll never step into the kind of influence in life that God has created you to live. It's not that God will not give you more than you can handle. It's that God will give you more than you can handle, but he'll give you it so that you have to learn to rely on a source of strength that is different than your own. So when he puts a weight in your hand, the question with the way that you carry it is, whose power are you leveraging to carry the weight? Friends, this is why stuff like life groups really matter. Because when you carry that weight with other people right in with you, and you got your load and they got their load, and you decide you're going to host a life group, and you go to the life group reception after the service, and you surrender your life to Jesus to become a host, God bless you. Thank you for that. Many of you are going to do that today. And when you do it, God somehow in the midst of community gives you the strength that you need to carry the weight that he's asking you to carry. And some of us, we are so exhausted, but we only have one brick in the back. And the reason why we're exhausted is because the way that we're carrying it. So what we want to do is we want to strap in and we want to learn to carry the weight with God's help and his power, to allow his strength to internally enter in. See, God will increase your load without increasing your burden if you let him help you carry it. And Jesus is making this incredible invitation to his disciples. Come to me, you're burdened, you're overwhelmed. Yes, you will have to carry a cross. And yes, it will be difficult. But if you can never put down your burden, you'll never be able to pick up your cross. If you can never lay the thing that Jesus didn't ask you to carry at his feet, and if you can't trust him to help you carry it, then this journey for you and this journey for me will really, really feel like a burden. And Jesus is saying to South Bay Church, and he's saying to me, and he's saying to all of us together, would you come to me, all of you, every one of you who are weary and heavy burden? I know there's a lot of weight on you, but I'll give you rest, not just physical rest. I'll give you rest today for your souls. In fact, this really matters so much that I'm gonna make a way so that you can have rest, so that you don't have the weight of religion. And the way I'm gonna make that way is by being brutally murdered on a cross for the sins of humanity. And it's not that the sins don't matter when you commit them. Actually, I'm holy and my heart is for purity. But because the weight of your sin is so much, the only solution that will solve the problem is if I go to a cross for your sins and for the sins of the world. And there, when I'm nailed, I'll make a way so that you can come and you can experience life. And now what I ask of you, when I give you my grace and you turn from your old ways, I don't ask you to carry the religious system anymore. I just simply ask you to come and follow me and learn from me and let me teach you and do what I tell you to do. And if you do that, that, my friends, is where the yoke is easy and the burden is light. So I want to make an invitation to you. I want to encourage you just to take everything in your hands, just drop it out just for a moment. All of our campuses, if you're driving, don't drop it out, but everybody else, drop it out. And Just empty your hands for a moment as the band begins to play behind me. And there are some of you today, you're so overloaded, so overwhelmed with life. And Jesus is saying, would you come to me? Would you come to me, some of you for the very first time, and receive my salvation into your life? You've been striving religiously. You've been working hard on your own power and your own strength, but it's never going to be enough. It's never enough. But in fact, today, the pressure that is on you could be the very thing that brings you to the place that you see your need for me. And so here I am, he's saying, face to face with you. Here I am, inviting you to come and lay your burdens down. And the way that you know that you can lay them down is through a cross and an empty tomb. No more religion, just relationship. Listen, the weight of your burden impacts the measure of your joy. And today Jesus wants to liberate you to give you his joy. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you today that we can be free in you, that you have come that we might have life and have it abundantly. I pray today for people who are here who've never experienced the freedom that comes in you, that they would lay their burdens down in this moment. And Father, I pray that you would help us with the responsibilities that we carry to let you carry them with us so that the load that is on us doesn't become a burden. Thank you today for your grace. Thank you for your holiness. Thank you for your mercy. We yield our hearts to you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Receive these words as they're sung over you today.